WKJAN, Radio Atlantic.
Partly cloudy to cloudy here in Atlantic, and we have currently 63 degrees as your temperature. Look for a warm high of 90 today and partly sunny skies. Breezy conditions today as well. Winds out of the south-southeast at 10 to 20 miles per hour and gusts up to 25. Good morning, I'm Chris Parks with KJAN News. The U.S. Attorney's Office for the Southern District of Iowa reports a Council Bluffs man was sentenced on Thursday to 16 years in prison for conspiring to distribute methamphetamine. Senior District Court Judge Ronald Langstaff also ordered 30-year-old Felipe Hernandez to serve a 5-year term of supervised release following incarceration. Hernandez pled guilty on February 2nd to conspiring to distribute methamphetamine in the amount of 500 grams or more. And during June and July of 2011, a group of police and task force investigated a group of individuals for selling methamphetamine in Omaha Council Bluffs area, and that investigation resulted in the arrest of Hernandez and the seizure of 3 kilograms of methamphetamine, 2 loaded handguns, and cash. Cass County Sheriff's Office reports deputies arrested a couple of people this week. On Tuesday, 28-year-old William Daniel Mendez of Council Bluffs was arrested on a district court warrant for probation violation. Mendez was taken to the Cass County Jail where he was being held on $10,000 cash bond. On Thursday, 40-year-old Daniel Dale Laws of Atlantic was arrested on a district court warrant for failure to appear for a child support hearing. Laws was taken to the Cass County Jail. He was later released on his own recognizance later that day. And officials say an Anita man arrested on May 19th following a domestic incident during which a shot was fired remains in the Cass County Jail. 39-year-old Michael Wayne Luke of Anita faces charges that include intimidation with a weapon and aggravated misdemeanor charges of reckless use of a firearm and domestic assault second offense. He's being held in the jail on $12,500 bond. Cass County Sheriff's Office says no injuries were reported following a rollover accident early on Friday morning southeast of Marnie. Officials say the accident happened on Marnie Road near the intersection with 580th Street at around 6:45 a.m. A 1991 Ford Bronco owned and driven by 20-year-old Lucas Kristen Nelson of Marnie was traveling north when it went into the grassy median area as Nelson attempted to avoid a deer. The SUV went across and into the south ditch before rolling onto its top. Damage to the vehicle estimated at $3,500. A Nebraska man was sentenced on Thursday in U.S. District Court to 3 years in prison for failing to register with the Sex Offender Registry in Pottawatomie County. District Court Judge Ronald Langstaff also ordered a 42-year-old Randall Joe Haggart to serve a 3-year term of supervised release following his incarceration. On March 27th, Haggart entered a guilty plea to failing to register with the Sex Offender Registry in Iowa. He'd been required to register as a sex offender since 2003. From December of 2010 and up to and including July 6th of 2011, Haggart resided in Council Bluffs without registering with the Sex Offender Registry in Pottawatomie County. The investigation was conducted by the U.S. Marshals Service and was prosecuted by the U.S. Attorney's Office for the Southern District of Iowa. No charges were filed following a case of apparent criminal trespassing and mischief last night in Villisca. The Montgomery County Sheriff's Office says they received a report at around 9:05 p.m. about an incident which occurred at 111 West High Street in Villisca, where it was determined a pickup occupied by 2 young men stopped in front of the residence. One of the males jumped out of the pickup, entered the yard, grabbed a Stevens for Sheriff sign, yanked it out of the ground, and threw it onto the grass. That same person returned to the pickup, and they took off. Sheriff's Department says the residents saw the act and take place and managed to locate the suspects. Officials say the residents spoke with the unidentified parties allegedly involved in the incident and told them to stay off their property. Those same individuals were then observed by the resident leaving Villisca. The political advertisement didn't appear to have any significant damage, and the residents declined to press any charges. A woman from Walnut was injured on Thursday afternoon when she was hit by a car that crashed into a bank in Avoca. Pottawatomie County Sheriff's Department Investigator Sergeant Dwayne Ritchie told KJN News that the incident happened at around 1:15 p.m. in front of the U.S. Bank in Avoca. He said the driver of the 1997 Buick LeSabre was identified as 85-year-old Dennis Allgood of Omaha.
Evidently, he was pulled into a parking stall there. His foot slipped off the brake, went to the gas, jumped the curb, and at that time there happened to be a female by the name of Sarah Nelson walking down the sidewalk. Obviously, when the vehicle jumped the curb, she was hit by the vehicle. and the vehicle basically proceeded up into the bank.
And the Walnut woman was hit and knocked over by the car. She complained of back, arm, and leg pain, was transported by Avoca Rescue to Murtu Memorial Hospital in Harlan, and her injuries were not believed to be life-threatening. The bank sustained about $100 damage, while the damage to Allgood's vehicle was estimated at $5,000. Allgood was cited by authorities for failure to maintain control. A contract extension is on the table for the Argosy Riverboat Casino in Sioux City. The Sioux City Journal says the nonprofit group that holds the license has offered the casino owner a 30-month extension of the 20-year agreement that expires July 7th. Talks have stalled on a long-term deal between Penn National Gaming and Missouri River Historical Development. State regulators say without an agreement, the casino could close, jeopardizing over 300 jobs. The nonprofit's group board of directors voted on Thursday to offer the extension, which would run through March of 2015. Penn has until July 6th to accept it. The two sides are to appear before the Iowa Racing and Gaming Commission on June the 7th. Des Moines police say a man accused of robbing a check-cashing store tried to get rid of the money by flushing it down the toilet. KCCI-TV says the 24-year-old Darren Thomas of Des Moines is charged with first-degree robbery and interference with official acts. He was booked in the Polk County Jail on Friday. Police say after the robbery, the suspect fled into a nearby KFC and hid in the bathroom, where he tried to flush the cash, clogging the toilet. Thomas was taken into custody. A plumber was called to recover the evidence, and Thomas's case isn't listed, and it's unclear if he has an attorney. The 5th Annual Western Iowa No-Till Demonstration Field Day, scheduled for June 12th at the Carstens 1880 Farmstead south of Shelby, will address a wide variety of topics for anyone interested in learning more about soil stewardship practices on the highly erodible soils of Western Iowa. The day starts at 8 a.m. when registration and vendor displays open. A wide variety of local agribusinesses will be on hand to visit with producers in the morning and demonstrate their services and equipment. The field day begins at 9 a.m. with presentation topics including planter settings for heavy residue areas, use of cover crops to improve soil structure, a marketing update, and weather outlook. Keynote speaker Paul Jassa will address the crowd over the lunch hour to discuss techniques for success in long-term no-till systems for a corn-bean rotation, as well as a continuous corn-on-corn. Lunch will be provided free of charge to all in attendance, including steak sandwiches grilled by the Harrison County cattlemen. Anyone with an interest in soil stewardship, whether looking for basic management ideas or a long-time no-till producer, is encouraged to attend the day-long educational event. In addition to the educational sessions at the 2012 Wynn Field Day, there will be plenty of time for farmers to visit informational displays, vendor exhibits, and network with other producers. 4 hours of CCA credits will also be available at no cost for certified crop advisors needing additional continuing education units this year. There's no charge to attend the event, but pre-registration is requested by June 7th to ensure a lunch will be available. Registration can be completed by emailing csgorham@iastate.edu or by calling the Harrison County Extension Office at 888-644-2105. Registrations may also be faxed to 712-644-2100, and registration forms and more information are available at many local ISU Extension and NRCS offices, or can be found online as well at extension.iastate.edu/cas. The field day is brought to you by the NRCS, ISU Extension, and the Soil and Water Conservation Districts in Harrison, Pottawatomie, Cass, and Shelby counties, along with many local supporting agribusinesses. A former acting president of a condominium association in Tiffin in eastern Iowa is accused of stealing more than $3,000 from the group. The Iowa City Press Citizen says 30-year-old Kelly Holton was arrested this week on second-degree theft charge. She's accused of using money in the association's bank account to make personal purchases and a house payment. Police say Holton told investigators that she must have used the association's checkbook by mistake, thinking it was her own. Holton was bonded out of jail. A public phone listing for her could not be found, and court records don't list the name of her attorney as well. Iowa's top environmental official is stepping down. Governor Terry Branstad says he has accepted the resignation of Roger Landy as director of the Iowa Department of Natural Resources, effective yesterday. Branstad says he'll name a new director soon. The DNR oversees the state's parks, forests, and other resources. 75-year-old Landy, who has led the department since December of 2010, told the Des Moines Register that he resigned to spend more time at his home in the Lake of the Woods in Ontario, Canada. Landy is preparing for a trip to China May 29th through June 5th to visit his friend, Chinese Vice President Xi Jinping, who visited Iowa earlier here this year. And also taking a look at other news here for you this morning, the Sioux City Council has approved the expansion of Saber Industries into a new business park. Economic Development Director Marty Daughtry says Saber is anxious to get started on that new facility.
Saber is doing a major expansion. They're actually going to build a whole campus. There'll be one very large manufacturing building, but there's actually be seven different buildings on the site in Southbridge. This is the first business to locate in the new Southbridge Business Park. We're very excited about that.
He said the company makes cell phones and other types of towers.
They have about 200 jobs currently in Sioux City that will move over to the site when it's completed, and they will be adding an additional 200 jobs in phase one. So a total of 400 jobs are all very good paying, quality, skilled jobs.
And Saber's Darwin Gam says the company hopes to have the first production plant ready by mid-November. And Gam says the company is experiencing a growth period with orders increasing, and a second phase of the project could bring another 100 jobs. Temperatures are rising and gasoline prices are falling, a welcome combination for Iowans who are planning Memorial Day weekend getaways. Gail Weinholzer, a spokeswoman for the AAA Iowa, says the Motor Club is predicting about 35 million Americans will be traveling at least 50 miles away from home over the upcoming holiday.
That's about a 1.5% increase over last year. Certainly the downward pressure on fuel prices in April has done a lot to encourage people to travel after a rather wicked February and March that we had as far as gas prices.
She says there's a direct correlation between the drop in fuel costs and the expected rise in travel. Earlier this year, analysts predicted gas would hit $4 a gallon in the Midwest, perhaps a buck higher on the coast.
But mercifully, in April, we saw a reduction in 23 out of the 30 days in gas prices. So that's got a long ways towards helping people plan their Memorial Day travel. And unless there's some sort of significant political or environmental impact, it should remain that way through the summer.
The average price of gas has fallen in recent weeks in Iowa, and Weinholzer was asked if it would keep falling.
I don't know if we'll continue to see a drop. Certainly we'll see a stabilization at the very least. When we were looking at the crude oil prices in March being $108 a barrel, that was pretty steep. They're down now to about $94 a barrel.
The current average gas price in Iowa is $3.47 a gallon, down from $3.85 a year ago. The current U.S. average is at $3.68. Take a look now here at your funeral announcements this morning. Edward R. Smith, age 90 of Winterset, died Wednesday at the Winterset Care Center South. Funeral services for Edwin Smith will be held today at 10 a.m. at the Earlham United Methodist Church. Johnson Family Funeral Home in Stewart has the arrangements. Donald C. Allen, age 75 of Yale, died April 10th at his winter home in Mesa, Arizona. Funeral services for Donald Allen will be held today at 10 a.m. at the Twig Funeral Home in Panora. June Clemens, age 90, of Brainerd, Minnesota, formerly of Atlantic, died April 12th in Brainerd, Minnesota. Memorial services for June Clemens will be held from 10 to 11:30 a.m. today at the Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home in Atlantic. Mary Larson, age 87, of Greenfield, died Monday at the Deerfield Community in Urbandale. A funeral mass for Mary Larson will be held today at 10:30 a.m. at the St. John's Catholic Church in Greenfield. Steen Funeral Home Greenfield has arrangements. Adolf R. Polichek, age 90, of Shelby, died Wednesday in Shelby. Funeral services for Adolf Polichek will be held Saturday at 1 p.m. at the Burmeister Johansson Funeral Home in Shelby. Richard Norvell Dick Cooper, age 66, of Greenfield, died Monday in Adams County. Funeral services for Dick Cooper will be held today at 2 p.m. at the United Methodist Church in Greenfield. Steen Funeral Home Greenfield has arrangements. H. Claire Gill, age 92, of Atlantic and formerly of Anita, died April 14th at the Heritage House in Atlantic. Graveside services for Claire Gill will be held today at 2 p.m. at the Evergreen Cemetery in Anita. Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home in Anita has the arrangements. Glenn Pettigrew, age 93, of Fontenelle, died Thursday at the Good Samaritan Society in Fontenelle. Funeral services and Masonic services for Glenn Pettigrew will be held Tuesday at 10 a.m. at the Fontenelle United Methodist Church. Steen Funeral Home Fontenelle has arrangements. Sandra L. Gourley-Smith, age 70, of Nottoway, died Thursday at her home outside of Nottoway. Celebration of Life services for Sandra Smith will be held Tuesday at 10 a.m. at the Villisca United Methodist Church. Wolf Funeral Home in Villisca is in charge of arrangements. Joseph Gittins, age 30, of Persia, died May 19th at his home. Funeral services for Joseph Gittins will be held Tuesday at 10:30 a.m. at the Pauly Jones Funeral Home in Harlan. Jerry Gates, age 78, of Orient, died Wednesday at the Adair County Memorial Hospital in Greenfield. Funeral and Masonic services for Jerry Gates will be held Tuesday at 1:30 p.m. at the Orient Plymouth Congregational Church. Steen Funeral Home Greenfield has arrangements. Karen Schlieffarth, age 64, of Earlham, formerly of Greenfield, died Thursday at the Mercy Hospice in Johnston. Celebration of Life services for Karen Schlieffarth will be held Wednesday at 2 p.m. at the Steen Funeral Home in Greenfield. And Lloyd Schroeder, age 85, of Atlantic, died Wednesday. Services for Lloyd Schroeder are currently pending at the Roland Funeral Service in Atlantic. That's a look at your latest news and funeral announcements this 8 o'clock hour here on KJAN. I'm Chris Parks, KJAN News.